During the last three centuries, the fading of a deluded, atheistic European aristocracy and the successive denationalization of the Christian Church via liberal social developments have meant that, presently, most of the significant political activity issuing from Western religious communities has tended to be confined to their pro-globalist contingents. Today we are witnessing the emergence of transnational technical elites who are composed of international businessmen, socialist intellectuals, and professional politicians. The ties of these new elites cut across national boundaries. Their perspectives have no racial center, while their interests are merely functional. As a global clique, they are gaining strength, and it is likely that before long, their cultural ascendancy will be complete. The creation of a universal information grid, facilitating almost continuous intellectual interaction, and the pooling of secular knowledge will further enhance the present trend towards empowering this professional global elite and the emergence of a common scientific language between them. This will ultimately lead to a digital dark age, with access to pertinent information being barred, creating a large and dangerous gap between them and the socially controlled masses, whose vanquished nativism, having been undermined for decades, will keep them mindless to any notion of rebellion against their cosmopolitan masters. Today, the dominant pattern seems increasingly to be that of a highly individualistic, unstructured, changing perspective. Institutionalized beliefs, the result of the merging of ideas and institutions, religious ones in particular, no longer appear as vital and relevant, while the secular skepticism that contributed so heavily to the erosion of these beliefs now clashes with a current emphasis on passionate social activism. The result has become a consumer-based era of fads, of rapidly shifting presumptions, with emotions providing the unifying bond previously supplied by the church, only now employing faded revolutionary slogans from a Marxist catalog providing the needed inspiration for so many naive and vapid Westerners today. It is steadily becoming more difficult for church institutions to assert dogmatically the pristine purity of the doctrines they had embodied for two millennia. In many Western countries, this difficulty also involves, especially on the part of the indoctrinated liberal youth, a crisis in allegiance stemming from the procedures of social democracy. Today, the relationship of ideas to institutions is turbulent, wherein modern civic institutions now embrace ideals which will only undermine them as institutions, while the exponents of neoliberal social activism revolt against these very institutions because of the intellectual constraints said to be inherent in them. This paradox is part of the progressive secularization of Western culture, and it represents the first phase of a godless society. An important role in this process is played by the changed character of contemporary communications, which permits rapid dissemination of ideas and images, organized not in an effort to proselytize spiritual truths, but rather run as a multi-layered propaganda network by corporate entities whose entire existence is based upon falsifying the world around us. Today, everyone is exposed to impressions that are both more fluid and more volatile than ever before. As a result, there is no longer the same urgency to challenge traditional Christian notions with alternative and more appealing visions, or to overcome its social inertia with some mobilization of effort, as this can now be done remotely, steadily, and unrelentingly. All of this places the church on the defensive. Increasingly, its efforts are designed to retain the positive loyalty of its adherents and to combat its own traditions from within in order to keep this loyalty. The increased emphasis on social issues from activist groups within the modern church, therefore, represents the final push to remove God from Western cultural affairs. Neoliberal in name only, they affect a Marxist worldview and require of their faiths an intense involvement in worldly affairs, particularly in the struggle against perceived social injustice. At one time, the church was in direct competition with socialist or communist movements, but has now since been forced to absorb their tenets. Many radical Catholics, for example, consider socialist political activism as the salvation of the church's mission. Conservatives, meanwhile, fear the transformation of the church into merely another temporal radical movement, arguing that it would win very little in the short run, and the social relevance gained would come at the loss of its identity. In the end, the desired effect, a divided, amenable religion, has been achieved despite these arguments, personified lately by the Jesuit, Pope Francis I. The experience of Protestantism in the United States was very much the same. Ecumenism, which stemmed from liberal social activism between churches, also prompted both institutional and doctrinal tension. Loyal Christians feared that it would accelerate the dilution of canonical content and transform their churches into vague ethical organizations, operating like NGOs, engaged together in spreading socialist politics and atheistic values. Even more perplexing to the purists was the appearance of an ecumenical dialogue between Christians and far-left groups. That such a dialogue could develop, even though it received relatively little notice, was itself proof of the extent to which the belief in an absolute Christian truth had been abandoned. What appears on the surface to be modest and limited has in fact been a major stepping away from the traditional Western view of the Church as a central, mediating social institution. The reforms and debates within Catholicism since the 1960s, for example, already had an overwhelming effect on the personal lives of believers, and more vitally on their consciences, as these related to new social norms. By supplanting the Church's authority in one's personal interactions with their conscience, neoliberalism had made God irrelevant, and that was the goal of these pressure groups all along. By LARPing as Christian social activists, they wiped clean the traditional customs of the religion itself, replacing these with an exotic operational framework, one based on a postmodern sloganism that virtue signals global homocultural motifs. Meanwhile, in some dark corner of this present-day cathedral, God was quietly deconstructed into a malleable trope, interchangeable and fluid, like some transgendered figurine, writhing on a cross, in self-adoring ecstasy.